the name of Jairus. He could have sent anybody after the Savior, but he wasn't trusting anybody. He went himself to go get the Savior. And I'm here to tell you the situation is dire. Somebody needs to go after him. Somebody needs to go get him. Amen. Well, it's come time for our first message tonight. I appreciate Brother Leonard Fletcher. Oh, how God's touched this man. I appreciate his friendship. Appreciate his fellowship. Appreciate the message he preaches, the gospel. He does it in a different way than some, but I really like it. I'm glad God didn't make us all alike, preacher. And if it did, then everybody'd preach alike. And everybody'd look alike. Boy, that'd be bad, wouldn't it? But I'm glad God uses men with different personalities and talents. And I appreciate this man. He's God's man for this hour. You hear him while he preaches about 30 minutes. Love you.
Man, well, I appreciate the opportunity to be back again tonight. I thank God for Brother Steve Dagenhart. What a dear servant of God that he is. And his spirit is something that you don't see a lot of it in these days. But I'm glad that God has raised him up for this work in this place and to do the work that he is doing here. And not only him, but all that helped make this meeting possible. It's refreshing to see places like this in our nation when others are riding in the streets, God's children gathering under an old tabernacle in the heat, because we know where our help comes from. And I don't know, I'm like Brother Ron said, I don't know all about what's going to happen to America, but I do know what's going to happen to the church. And I'm glad that God's got it all in his hand. If you have your Bible, turn with me to the book of Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, and I'm going to give you a thought tonight and hope I can be a blessing to you. I thought about the meeting last night and how God moved in the meeting upon Brother Winkler. As he got up here, instead of preaching, he ended up giving an invitation. And just the burden for somebody unsaved. And then I thought about what Brother Lockie said, and as he came and read the scriptures that he did. It's always been imperative that men be saved, but I believe we're at such a late hour right now that it is desperate times for people to get in, because we don't have the promise of another day. The Lord could come before this meeting ends. But I'm glad to know tonight that I'm saved by the grace of God. Amen. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 1. You've been sitting a while. If you're able, let's stand as we read the scripture tonight. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1. The Bible said, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Father, we thank you for the reading of your word. And Lord, I pray now that you'd give liberty. Lord, give unction tonight in this place. Lord, only you know the hearts of these that are gathered here tonight. Lord, as far as I know tonight, everybody here is born again, saved by the grace of God. But Father, you know tonight if there's someone here tonight that is not saved. And Lord, I pray that tonight may you take the Word of God and the Holy Spirit and show that individual tonight, that one that might need you tonight. Father, I pray you just speak to their heart in a special way. And God will give you praise and honor for what you do. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray and we ask it. Amen and amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Here in the Word of God, the Apostle Paul is writing, and he starts out in verse number 1, and he says, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world." I begin to think about that. Every one of us tonight that are saved by the grace of God, you remember a time in your life when you were just like the Scriptures talks about here tonight. You were walking according to the course of this world. You were walking according to the desires of your flesh and of your mind. Sometimes we see the repulsiveness of sin, and we see how sinners act and the things they do and their brazen attitude in the face of a holy God. But many of us were just like them before we came to know Christ as our Savior. And sometimes we just need to remind ourselves they're just doing what sinners do. And all of us that are saved by the grace of God, you remember a time that you walked contrary to God and contrary to the things of God. But thank God for that glorious day when the Holy Spirit came to where you were and began to draw you and woo you and bring you to the place that you could be saved by the grace of God. I began to think about this. I've got a preacher friend in Greenville, Tennessee, that he's all the time sending me text messages and unusual things. And one day I received a text message from him, and it was pretty simple, yet it was so profound. I later found out the backstory on what he meant by this, but this is what the text message said that day. This is all it said. It said, "A man who only has religion is like a letter marked for heaven with no stamp on it to get it there." And I began to meditate on that. I said, that's pretty profound right there. He later told me he was headed to the post office that day to mail some letters, and he said, "I got to look at them, and they said there's a going somewhere, but in reality, they didn't have nothing on them to get them where they said there's a going." I said, there's a lot of folks today that will tell you that they're marked for heaven. They'll tell you, "Yeah, preacher, I believe I'm going when I die. I believe I somehow or another, yes, heaven's where I'm going." But what I'm asking you tonight, is there anything ever been applied to your life that will facilitate you going to God's heaven? I'm asking you a question tonight. Do you have what it takes to go to heaven? I brought some letters with me tonight. I thought on this, and I preached this at the church, and I brought a letter with me tonight. If everybody here could see it, and I of course, I put the sending destination as our church address. I have it marked Dyson Grove Baptist Church, 8483 Roan Creek Road, Butler, Tennessee, as the sending destination. And then on the receiving destination, I wrote on it, "Your name, 316 John Street, Glory Avenue, Heaven, 77777. And I thought about that letter. When you look at it, it says that it's going to heaven. Now you say, preacher, that's not a real address. I beg your pardon. I may not have the numbers exactly right, but I promise you this, heaven is just as real as what you're looking at tonight. Amen. And I thought about that letter. It says it's going somewhere, but there's a problem with it. There's no stamp on it. There's nothing that will get it where it says it's going. I thought about a lot of people are just like this old letter right here. It's got an identifying place that when it leaves here. Do you realize everybody here is going to want to identify with somewhere when you die? Many of you will, in your obituary column, it'll have your home church name and it will say they were a member of such and such Baptist church. And then you got those folks that never would really commit. They just came. They wouldn't join. And they'll put in their obituary, they attended such and such Baptist church. And then you got that other group of folks that wasn't interested in going to church, didn't care much for the things of God. But when it comes time to check out, they want to identify with something, and they'll put in there, they were of the Baptist faith. I don't know why we as Baptists have to claim all them people that didn't go to church in the last 40 years, wasn't interested in God, wasn't interested in the church. Why couldn't the Methodists take some of that crowd? Why couldn't the Presbyterians claim some of that crowd? But they're always of the Baptist faith. They say they're going somewhere and they're identifying with something. Can I say to you, every one of us are checking out of here. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. I was reading a story about an old mountain preacher, and they said he was preaching one day, and he pulled out his old pocket watch, and he held it up, and he said, "Church, this is my old pocket watch. Said it's been faithful down through the years. Tick, 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 tick." He said, "A funny thing happened the other day. Said it stopped ticking, and it refused to start again." And he said, "Every one of you are just like this old pocket watch. There's something inside you tonight that's pumping and ticking. But there's going to come a day when it's going to stop ticking. There's going to come a day when it will refuse to start again." And may I say to you tonight, praise God, you better know that your sins are under the blood and that you've been born again by the grace of Almighty God. I say the particular destination leaving from, then I see the particular destination of arrival. This is marked for heaven. I wish I could tell you that was the only place there was to go. But I'm here to tell you, if you read Matthew chapter 7, there's a narrow road. He said there's a narrow gate. There's a narrow way. And he said there's going to be few that'll find it. If you're sitting here tonight and you found it, out of all the people breathing air on planet Earth that's going to a Christless eternity, you ought to be shouting happy that you got on the narrow road. Hallelujah. You ought to thank God that God lets you be born in a place where somebody would wave an old King James Bible and tell you how to get to God's heaven. Hallelujah to his name. But the Bible says also in that chapter there's a broad road, wide road, and said many there be that'll go in there. Can I say to you, this world by and large tonight is stomping its way to a Christless eternity. But I'm glad, praise God, that you don't have to go there. Hallelujah to his name. I took these letters to the post office and I looked at the lady behind the counter. I said, I showed her this letter and I said, "Now I want you to look at this." And I said, "As you can tell, I'm not mailing this." But I said, "I'm going to ask you a question." I said, "This letter has got a sending destination, and it has a destination that it's supposed to arrive at." I said, "If this was a place you could deliver this to, would this letter make it?" She said, "No, sir, because there's not been a price paid that it might get there." Well, I got good news for you tonight. I'm glad the price has been paid, that you and I could go to heaven. Amen. Aren't you glad, praise God, there was a day that the God of glory stepped off of heaven's throne and he robed himself in flesh,
came down and the angels announced his arrival in a little town in Bethlehem there. And the Bible said he grew up going about doing good, healing the sick and raising the dead. And then at 33 and a half years, he picked up an old rugged cross and he carried it up an old hill called Calvary. And there as he hung between heaven and earth, he spread out his hand. And as he hung his head and died, he said, "It is finished." Hallelujah. And I'm glad the price was paid once and for all, that you and I might be saved by the grace of God. The price has been paid, but it has to be applied. I asked the lady behind the counter, I've got another letter with me. It's identical to the first one. It's got the sending address of Dyson Grove Baptist Church. It's got the receiving address of Your Name, 316 John Street, Heaven, Glory Avenue, Heaven, 77777. And I said, let me ask you a question now. I said, "Do y'all have a 2-cent stamp?" She said, "Yes, sir, we do." I said, "Could I purchase one of those, and would you put it on there for me?" She said, "I'll be happy to." I said, "All right." After she got it on there, I looked at her and I said, "Now let me ask you a question." I said, "That first letter didn't have no stamp on it, but this one does." I said, "If this was a place you could deliver to, would that get the job done?" She said, "No, sir, that's insufficient postage." I said, "Then put one of them stickers on there that says, 'Return to sender, insufficient postage.'" You say, "What are you trying to say, preacher?" We're living in a world today, you ask the average person you meet out in the streets, and everybody's willing to give their 2 cents worth on what it takes to get to heaven. I mean, everybody's got an idea on what you got to do to go to heaven. Some will say, "Well, if you'll just be a good neighbor, I believe you'll make it in the pearly gates. Oh, if you'll just turn over a new leaf and do better, I believe you'll make it. Lord, if you'll just give to some good charity, surely when the time comes, your name will be on the roll." But can I say to you, there's only one way you'll ever make it in God's heaven, and that you must be born again. Hallelujah. It takes a new birth. Hallelujah to his name. Your 2 cents worth won't do it, amen. I fear we got some 2-cent Christians sitting on the pews. How do you know, preacher? They're expecting that stamp to get them to heaven when it won't even get them to church half of the time. Ever since I got born again, I have not had a problem going to church. Matter of fact, my problems were when I didn't get to go. But can I say to you, praise God, I don't know what you're depending on. You may be depending on your good works. But you say, "Preacher, my daddy was a preacher." Well, that's good and that's great and that's wonderful. But you can't go to heaven on your daddy's coattails. Your mama may have been a Sunday school teacher, and she may have been the godliest lady you've ever known, but the fact of the matter is, you've got to come to Calvary just like everybody else. I don't care who you are, what your name is, what your pedigree is. I'm glad the ground is level at Calvary, amen. So that one won't make it. I got to thinking about this. I've got another letter. It's identical to the first two. The sending point is Dyson Grove Baptist Church. The destination is Your Name, 316 John Street, Glory Avenue, Heaven. But there's a little different. I had this stamp at the house, and when I handed it to her, I looked at her and I said, "Ma'am," I said, "you said that other wouldn't go, but I said, if you could deliver this right here," I said, "would this go and reach the destination?" She said, "Yes, sir. Because that stamp, that qualifies, the price has been paid, and it would make it." You know what kind of stamp this is, don't you? A forever stamp. Aren't you glad? I mean, aren't you glad that when you got saved, He didn't just give you on the installment plan, but I'm glad when he saved me, hallelujah, he saved me for time and eternity. Hallelujah to his name. I rejoice and I praise his name, amen. That forever stamp. You see, when you buy that, you pay the price one time. And it doesn't matter how long it is and what the economy does. It might go in the tank and it costs you $35 to mail a letter. But if you got a forever stamp, that price has done been paid. Hallelujah. I'm glad. Hallelujah. Praise God that the price was paid once and for all. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad? Praise God. I had an old preacher friend. I met this dear man of God. He was in the nursing home. I knew of him growing up a little bit. Just an old mountain preacher. Never did have a lot of education. Never did pastor no real big churches. But he was in the nursing home. We'd go there to visit. And I'd go in his room. He was confined to a hospital bed in the room. Every time I'd go in, the first thing he'd ask me, he said, "Preacher, you got any tracts on you? I'm out." Confined to a hospital bed in a nursing home room, and he was out of tracks. He said, "I like to have them." Said, "Bring me some." Said, "Like all time people coming in here." And he said, "When they come, I want to tell them how to get to heaven." That old preacher, he said, "Brother Lynn," I got talking to him about when God called him to preach. He said, "You know," said, "God called me to preach." His name was Euless Main. He said, "I didn't have no education." He said, "I didn't know what to preach." And he said, "I got off down there in the laurel thicket down below Vaults Gap Baptist Church one day." And he said, "I got down there and got to praying and said, 'God, now you're the one that called me. I need to know what you want me to preach. I got to know. If you call me, you got to give me a message.'" And he said, "Preacher, as clear as day," he said, "God spoke to my heart that day and said, 'Preach eternal salvation.'" Hallelujah. I'm glad it's still eternal. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad? Praise God. Glory to his name. I'm glad that when he saves a soul, it's for time and eternity. Hallelujah. I looked at that lady and I said, "Now, you said this letter would go, but," I said, "you're forgetting one thing." I said, "Don't you have to put a seal on there? A postmark date?" She said, "Yes, we do." I said, "Would you postmark date this for me?" She said, "I'd be happy to." And on this letter it says, April 1st, 2015. I didn't mean for it to happen that way, but that's April Fool's Day. And then I thought about over there in the Word of God where it said, "The fool has said in his heart that there is no God." Amen. I got to thinking, no matter how long I keep this, I may forget a lot of things. But every time I look at it, there's a date that something was stamped on it. I asked her this question. I said, "Now let me ask you this, after you stamped that." I said, "I brought this to the post office." I said, "Do I have to make sure now that it gets where it's supposed to go?" She said, "No, sir. That is the responsibility of the one that put the seal on it." Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm glad. Praise God. Amen. I'm glad. Hallelujah to his name. Some of y'all worried, "How am I going to get there? How am I going to make it in?" I got news for you that the Holy Ghost of God, it's his job to get you there. Hallelujah. And I'm glad I'm going by the grace of Almighty God. I've thought about the times that some young child would come and they'd get saved at a young age and get the stamp put on, and get the seal put on, and then in teenage years they'd get out and stray, and the old flesh nature would take over and they'd do most of their sinning after they got saved. And everybody's wondering, "Well, reckon they really got in." Well, I'll tell you, you can figure that out if they don't ever come back. And I know at their time in my life, I got saved as a young boy, but in my teenage years, I'll be honest with you, I didn't walk where I needed to with God. I hung around the wrong kind of people, but all the time I was doing it, The one that had sealed me was whispering in my ear. He'd say, "What are you doing here? This ain't your crowd." And all the while, you see, it wasn't my business to get me to heaven. It was his. And all the while, he said, "It's my duty to get you where you're supposed to be going." Aren't you glad? Praise God for the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Not only did he seal you, but I'm glad he's going to guide you and teach you and take you all the way to heaven one day. I had a cousin. He and I, our lives didn't intersect much. He was older than me. He had not lived a life for the Lord most of his life and probably hadn't been in church since he was a boy. He was about 60 years old. And I heard that he got sick, and I found out they diagnosed him with brain cancer. And I said, "I need to go see him." I said, "He's my cousin." And I said, "I need to talk to him about his soul." Went down there, a little old trailer, and he was living with a woman. He's in a hospital bed. They had done some treatment, shrunk the tumor a little bit. I went in that day and took him a little money, even though you say, "Preacher, you taking somebody shacked up, living together, a little money." Well, sometimes, you know what? The sinners ain't used to seeing folks treat them good. They've been living in a dog-eat-dog world, and they expect that kind of treatment from everybody. But I tell you one thing right now, if you're going to reach them, you're going to have to show them the love of Christ. I said, "Here's your little money to pay a light bill or get you some groceries." I didn't even talk to him that day about his soul. I said, I'll be back in a few days. I went back a week later, and he was sitting out on the porch with a little oxygen tank. And I went over and sat down, just started making small talk. And finally, I looked at him. I said, "Dennis," I said, "really, I need to get to the reason I'm here." I said, "You're my cousin." And I said, "I love you. And I know what's wrong with you, and you know what's wrong with you." I said, "I can't let you go into eternity without looking you in the eye and asking you, has there ever been a time that the Lord came into your heart? You ever been a time that God drew you and he brought you to the place where he saved you?" He looked at me kind of curious. He said, "Well," he said, "I remember when I was little that they baptized me down at the church." I said, "Well, that's good." I said, "The Lord teaches us that we're to follow the Lord in believer's baptism." I said, "Do you remember anything else about that time?" He said, "No, not really." He said, "I can't remember anything other than they baptized me." I looked at him. I said, "Dennis," I said, "you remember your first pocket knife?" He smiled real big and laughed. Said, "Yeah, I cut my finger with it." I said, "About every one of us have had that experience with our first pocket knife." I said, "You remember when you got your driver's license?" He said, "Yeah, I failed the test twice before I got them." Laughed about it. I said, "You remember your first car?" He said, "Yeah, it was a piece of junk." And he called the name of it. And I said, "Yeah, I know you sold it to me after you got rid of it." It was a rite of passage that everybody's first car had to be that piece of junk. You could drive it to Mountain City just fine, but you had to sit and wait 3 hours for it to start again to get you back home. And we laughed about that we both owned the same old clunker of a car. And then I looked at him real serious, and I said, "Dennis, so what you're telling me is this. You remember your first pocket knife? You remember when you got your driver's license? You remember your first car? But the thing you're staking your eternal destiny on, you can't remember much about it." I said, "Don't you think it's about time you get something you can remember?" He looked at me just like it hit him in the heart. And he said, "Yeah, I guess you're right." I said, "I didn't come here to pressure you. As a matter of fact, I can't make you get saved. But," I said, "if the Holy Spirit's speaking to your heart and you want to trust Christ today," I said, "I'll be happy to pray with you." He said, "I think I'd like to do that." And we bowed right there on his porch. He asked the Lord to come in his heart that day. And I prayed with him, and I preached his funeral 6 months after that. And I told that crowd that day the same story I'm telling you tonight. I said, "You may be sitting here, you say you're marked for heaven, but you're like this one right here. You say you're going, but there ain't nothing been applied. You may have been baptized, or you may have You may have joined a church or you may have done some religious thing, but the fact of the matter is you got to have an experience with the Lord Jesus Christ. He's got to come in. Hallelujah. You say, now, preacher, I don't understand all about it. I wish I could tell you I understand all about it. But I do know this. He said we've been raised up together to sit together in heavenly places. Best way I can explain that tonight is this. He's in heaven tonight, seated at the right hand of the Father. And because I'm in him, part of me's already there. And I'm here tonight, and because he's in me, part of him's here tonight in me in the form of the Holy Spirit. Aren't you glad tonight that you know, that you know, that you know you've got what it takes to go to heaven? Father, we thank you for the word of God. We thank you for the preaching of the word. Lord, we ask you tonight, now take it to the hearts of the people. And Lord, speak to some heart here tonight. Lord, bless in the furtherance of the meeting. Lord, I pray you'd bless our dear brother that'll come in just a few minutes to preach. I pray, God, would you use him in a great way. And Father, we'll give you praise and honor and glory, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Preacher, you come.